And you're tuned to Tygerberg on 104 FM, and it's 1 minute to 10. We decided to give you a 1 minute bonus. My absolute joy and privilege to greet in our studio Lira, South African singer. Her name translates to love in Sesotho, and she also speaks four languages. We're going to speak about that just now. Lira, welcome to Tygerberg. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Lira, your first time here?
It's the first time on the station, that's right.
All right, and how does it feel? What's the vibe like?
Oh, it's lovely. Everyone's been so lovely, and I've met, I feel like, half your staff already, so everyone's really giving me a lovely welcome.
Well, you're a household name. Just a couple of weeks ago, we watched you week after week on The Voice.
That's true.
What was that like?
It was amazing. It really was such a fulfilling experience. You know, I've had the pleasure of nurturing incredible talent, and just it's been very inspiring. Some people have really have worked hard to, you know, to hone their talent. I mean, I only got into the music industry formally, I think, when I was about 23, and a lot of the talent was so young, but they had such command over their talent. It was very, very inspiring for me.
Yeah, then of course, you know, we can debate about this forever. Everyone had their star. You had your one. I had my one that my hopes were pinned on. Others had Richard. Others had Gavin. For me, it was Zoe. Hello.
But she was really something phenomenally special.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that she's been signed on now.
Exactly. You know, and that was, for me, the joy, is that was the whole purpose. You know, it's one thing being on a show, but now she has a future, at least, and an opportunity to release an album and, you know, just pursue her career even further with that kind of sport.
And then, of course, what we loved about you, Lira, is we listened to all the judges. You know, all these little things, little bits that you, the judges, had to say. Mm. Where do you get these from, these answers that you have? I mean, listen to another one you gave a couple of minutes ago. Do you sort of get a script, or is it having to think on your feet?
Well, I think that's what I loved about the show, that I didn't have to be anything in particular. I just had to be myself. Mm. That was the easiest thing to do. You know, it was literally in the moment. You just say what you feel, and that's the easiest. You know, even just going to work, inverted commas, every day, there was a sense of ease about it. There were no nerves. I didn't have to remember anything on a script. So for me, it was really easy and an absolute pleasure.
And here you are. And for our listeners that have just tuned in, it's 1 minute past 10 o'clock. With me in the studio is Lira. Her name in Sesotho translates to love. Has love always been an integral part of your life? Have you, from a young age, been aware of that you just once showered in love by mom, dad, family?
I think I really became conscious of it when I became much older. And I always knew, obviously, my name is love, but, you know, it's just a name when you're growing up. But growing older, I just feel like I've really been immersed in love. I love love. I believe in love. I advocate love. I want to reflect love in everything I do. I've written about love so many times, but love not just as a romantic thing, but as a way of life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I love love.
And then also you're a polyglot, or speaking four languages. You are quadrilingual. Now, if you speak four languages, you're quadrilingual. If you speak three, you are trilingual. If you speak two, you're bilingual. And they say if you're British or American, you just speak one language.
That's true.
So would you say we're more intelligent than the Americans and the British then?
I love that, because I feel like it is. You know, some brain activity, it takes some serious brain activity to speak several languages, I would think. And then it's shocking to me that you'll still meet people that only speak one language, but they still interact with other cultures. It's like you need to just learn a little bit of something else.
Now, you speak four. And which
I actually
are
speak
they?
Five. I mean, I brought the big Afrikaans.
Polyglot?
My Afrikaans is it's the weakest, but I converse in Afrikaans quite decently. So it's Afrikaans, English, Sotho, Zulu, and Xhosa.
So, goeiemôre, Lira.
Goeiemôre, hoe gaan
dit? Dit gaan baie goed met my en met jou.
Lekker, baie. Baie lekker.
Fantasties. Lira, take us through your childhood. Tell us more about the woman, the girl, Lira.
I had a very good upbringing. I was happy as a child. I remember I was obsessed with playing. I actually stopped playing, I'm going to reveal my age, but in standard 8, I don't know what grade that is. I still can't figure that out without working it out. But I literally just loved playing, and there was music around me all the time. I grew up in a typical township where, say in one house, there'll be some guy with a huge sound system, and that'll blast the music so that the whole neighborhood could hear. So that's how I got exposed to a lot of music, and it just created the ambience. You know, there was always a buzz, always lots of energy in the township. So that was special to me. It was actually quite joyous. It was, you know, it's just so much energy, so much going on, so much interaction with all kinds of people all the time. And typically in a township, every woman who was more or less your mother's age was your mother.
True that.
Every woman who was more or less your grandmother's age was your grandmother. Every uncle is your uncle, that kind of thing. So I guess that teaches you a sense of respect and honor for everyone. So overall, it was really just incredible. I was raised actually by my grandmother, and she was living with her sister, and there were 13 people in the house, but she managed to feed, clothe, and just take care of everyone. She was a street vendor, a hawker, essentially, but she built the biggest house in our neighborhood. I remember when fridges came into fashion. We had the first fridge, we had the first TV, and she had this fancy furniture, and everybody would come to our house to watch TV. So we had the big house where all the kids loved to play. So for me, it was just like lots of love, lots of options, lots of encouragement. My grandmother was obsessed with education, as am I now. She just loved to give children an opportunity to get educated. I realized when I grew older that the 13 people in the house, half of them weren't even family. Only when I got older. So she liked to gather people so that she would give them opportunities to either get education or get work. So a very, like a community builder. And I've got a lot of her in me. In fact, even in my physique, I'm the only one that looks just like my grandmother.
Those are good genes, girl. Those are good genes. I've seen you, I think, the first time some 10 years ago, and you still have the same tiny, beautiful frame, slim and trim. You look gorgeous.
Thank you very much.
And then music erupted for you. Is it something that you just discovered one fine day? This is it? Was it something you acquired?
Well, I mean, there was so much music around me growing up. Actually, I grew up in Daveyton, which is in the east of Johannesburg in Ekurhuleni. I'm not too far from where Shalise grew up. Actually, whenever I drove to my high school, I used to drive past Shalise Theron's primary school.
Oh, wow.
So there was just music all the time. And people in our community always sang. So it was sort of the norm. But it's only consciously when I was 16 that I attempted to write a piece of music. And the reason I wrote music was because I would see from the age of when I was 7, I think, I would always be conscious of how adults would sing certain songs, but sing them as if these songs articulated what they were feeling. So I was conscious of that. And I felt music had a powerful way of pulling us together as people, even strangers, or young and old. It sort of was an equalizer. And it would transform people's mood instantly. And I wanted to be able to do that. That's actually what I wanted to be able to do when I first started writing music. I wanted to express things that people were feeling, but sometimes perhaps did not know how to articulate. And so when I was 16, I attempted writing my first song, and I used to sing with my best friend. She's now a lawyer, Lebo. Her name is Lebo. And there was an opportunity to enter a talent show. I was 16, so I was in matric at that time. And we won best vocalist, best performance, and best composition. The first time I'd ever won anything. So it made a huge impression. It gave me the impression that I actually had talent.
But then the first time you ever won anything, but then you never stopped. Your winning never ever stopped for you. So now you are multi-platinum selling. Did you ever envisage that, ever dream that you'd be getting to this place? Apart from that, I think when I counted the last time, 11, 12
summers? Yeah. So it's been really a phenomenal career. But in truth, yes, I did dream it. I feel like when you have a vision and a dream, you sort of set the course for your journey. You pinpoint your end destination. I didn't fill in the detail in as juicy a way as it's unfolded, but I did want this. And I think that's an important thing to consider, that when you pursue a career like this, it's always good to have a vision, because the vision helps you navigate your way, because a lot of opportunities will come your way, but how you sift what is good for you and what is not will be based on your vision for yourself. So I did write it down. In fact, I used to be an accountant before I became a professional musician. And when I quit my job, I wrote down a 5-year plan in as great a detail as I possibly could. I needed to figure out how I was going to enter this industry. And so part of it was literally selling lots of CDs around the country to gain clout so that I can start marketing my music around the world. And it's unfolded in that way. But there have been so many surprises that I could have never have planned along the way. Just lots of little bonuses and surprises. So it's really been an adventure of a lifetime.
And highlights, so many. Now, we'll choose today not to call them problems, we'll call them challenges. Did you ever encounter those in this journey that you are on?
Many. When I first left my job, I got signed literally 2 weeks after serving my notice. It was that easy, that simple, almost magical, really. You know, you don't hear stories like this. But the actual process of releasing my first album was grueling. I was in a stable that had signed me on because they wanted to venture into R&B soul, which is something I wanted to get into. But they were traditionally a quieto or prop kind of stable. And so once I was signed, I was completely ignored, overshadowed. And when I left my job, I saved up enough money to survive for a year. But it took 2 years to release the first album. So by the time I released the first album, I was broke and broken. So I felt like a failure because I'd been a professional, you know, and now I had nothing, you know, to my name.
And then I'm sure there are times that we then ask ourselves, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I should not have done this.
That's very true. I did think of that. I really was like, this was a mistake and maybe I should just go back, you know, and have a regular job. But I felt like, what if I'm on the brink? And could I live with myself if I walked away? Because, you know, it's hard enough to get a deal. I actually had a deal. I had everything going for me. So the only thing that was breaking me was my acceptance that I literally had failed. And I remember picking myself up and thinking, I still have my limbs. My body is still functional. I still have my talent. I still have my mind. All of these things, sort of counting what I do have to work with and focusing on that. And as soon as I did that, I literally marched into the office of my record label execs and I said, here, I'm ready to work. I've been writing music. You can't deny me anymore. And they literally, by March, May of 2003, I released my first album. But even that wasn't easy. The fact that I had an album didn't mean that I was suddenly a superstar. There was so much work to be done. It was like this mountain that just was relentless. It was getting steeper and steeper. But the greatest transformation for me was to stop to focus on everything that was wrong. I really just made a mountain of everything that was wrong. That's all I spoke about. And I learned the power of finding what is right, finding what is something to celebrate and then amplifying that. And what I mean by that is just placing my focus on it. What can I do? Stop complaining about what's wrong, but what can I do? And that allowed me to begin to empower myself. I literally was able to start my business in that way. I started managing myself. I started looking for opportunities wherever I can. And nothing for me was too unglamorous to do. I used to have my music in the boot. And if a person said, oh, you're that girl, I've seen you on TV, but now your music is in the store. I was like, well, it's in the boot. I'd be very happily go get you a copy if you've got R&D on you. And people would just support me, you know. And I remember borrowing my mother's car and going around and putting up posters and just looking at what I could do as opposed to going, oh, no, you know, I'm too pretty to be selling my own CD. I didn't have that attitude at all. And in no time, I think in a space of 3 years, I was literally a fully fledged entertainment solution. I just looked for opportunities everywhere. And that's how I slowly built my business.
And as you said, you were then already an accountant.
Exactly. Yeah, so that helped.
Yeah. Yet humble beginnings. Lira, for our listeners tuned in now, 13 minutes past 10 with me in the studio is Lira. And we are hearing some fantastic stuff. You motivating us. We already feel that we're ready to get going on those things that you have sort of, you know, just left on the sideline thinking you'll catch up later. You're not going to catch up unless you go and get it right there where it is and say, hey, I'm tackling you by the ears now and I'm going to do what I have to do. Thank you for that. Now, you also said that speaking all this negativity, people can do that. We know that. We sometimes do it ourselves. And you speak all this negativity and then the poison infiltrates.
Indeed.
So what would you say to listeners now, maybe undergoing that same thing?
Well, whatever you're feeling right now is because of where you're focusing. So I'm going to use the allegory of Cape Town. On one side of the mountain, it could be very cold and windy. On the other side, it could be sunny and peaceful. And depending on where you are and where you are focused, you will experience what you are perceiving. And that's what I've discovered about life. It's like everything is happening. Everything that can happen is already happening right now. Mm. But you will, what will take over your mood, your mindset, and what will affect your body and your experience is what you are placing your focus on. So that's what, there's great power in gratitude, because it teaches you to focus your way into the positive, into what is right, what can get you excited. Ultimately, all of us will drink, make love, do all kinds of things because we're looking for joy. You're actually looking for some sort of relief. Mm. Happiness is like a natural, that's what we want to gravitate towards. That's what we want to default towards. So the things we find ourselves engaging in is because we're trying to feel better. And so the easiest way for you to feel better on a daily basis, and I believe a way of getting out of depression as well, you wake up, you find something to be grateful for. You find something to appreciate about yourself. Or your life, anything. Mm. Could be the sunlight. It could be the fact that you're eating. Could be the fact that you're able to walk. Could be the fact that there's clean water to drink. Could be the fact that there's electricity. You have clothes on your back. You have to make it a habit. And what you're essentially doing is causing yourself to feel better. And the more better you feel, so you're focusing, the more whatever you focus on amplifies. Mm. So every day you'll feel better and better. And better. And it's also important to have a great sense of self. And for me, what I found with that is literally looking at myself in the mirror and finding something I like about myself. Because often we look for validation outside from other people. So you need to develop a very healthy sense of self. And again, it's like acknowledging that you are talented, that you're making a contribution, that you're a loving person, you're a loyal person, you're a reliable person. I've realized that you cannot rely 100% on the world to make you feel better. The world is what it is. People jab at you, people lift you up. And what I also notice, if you rely on that, you're like a paper blowing in the wind, because if this person says something nice, then your mood lifts. That person says something this nasty, then your mood dips again. Imagine just that yo-yo effect all day. You have no control over how you feel. And I was that kind of person where I just like, oh my word, I have no control. And then I realized I needed to self-affirm. And I did that. For me, it's an actual daily practice. You just need like 15 minutes every day, 5 minutes of appreciation, 5 minutes of self-acknowledgement. And I like to spend another 5 minutes of just blessing my life. Mm. It says, the Bible says, there's great power in life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Of the tongue. True.
And that's very, very true. That is so true. You must realize what you say often, you can't say something that you haven't been thinking about. Mm. And if you train yourself to think a certain way, then you will speak a certain type of life into your life.
True that.
So that's actually what's going on here. It's just like we just need to wake up and realize, oh, I'm actually much more in power than I've thought.
Tell us about Let There Be Light.
This is the first single from my new album, Born Free. And it really sets the tone for what I wanted to relay with this album. Of course, I'm not a typical born free in that I'm not born in 1994 and onwards, but it really speaks to that freedom of you have the freedom to speak life into your life. You have the freedom to choose to be better, to add goodness to this world. You know, life happens in the way that it does, but you have the choice, the freedom to choose empowerment or disempowerment. So that's really the essence of it. So in let there be light is saying, be the change you want to see in the world.
Yes, I'm geskakel hier op Tygerberg 104 FM 25 minute na 10 saam met my in die atelier, the lovely Lira, South African singer. Her beautiful name means love in Sesotho. She speaks 4 languages, we heard. She's multi-platinum selling and 11 saamas richer. Welcome back, Lira.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
You still having a great time with us?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Thank you very much. It's lovely chatting to you.
Lira, so you are super famous. We can say that you're a super famous South African. No matter where you go, I mean, I've been one of those, met you at an airport, and we run after you. We need your signature. We need photographs, selfies, all those kind of things. And we know people can sometimes be unkind. Yeah. They don't even say, good morning, Lira. Yeah. How are you? They just say, Lira, photo. Yeah. And I personally think that's so rude. At least ask you for your permission. How do you deal with all this kind of pressure, and how do you remain grounded?
I'm generally calm. Most times, but no, generally, I'm just a very calm person. So it takes a lot for me to lose my cool. But I just find, I think I've also had to understand, sort of place myself in people's shoes, that sometimes they're so excited that common human courtesy flies out the window. Mm. And sometimes it really used to make me upset that, please say hello to me, say please and thank you. But people just demand and they grab sometimes, you know, that happens. But I'd say generally people are nice, especially now. I almost feel like in the beginning I felt you also have to teach people how to treat you. So you mustn't accept a treatment that feels like it's unjust, as it were. And I think also how I carry myself, people also approach me in a certain way. So it's taken a while to get it there. But what keeps me grounded is I'm of the perception that nobody is above or beneath you. I am a firm believer in this. So I sort of treat people in that same way. But what keeps me grounded in my life is my support system. I really have an incredible husband who just allows me to be myself. My family is incredible. My friends are amazing. And I think my favorite thing about these people is they don't see me as Lira. Like, I literally don't have to be anything in particular. I just have to be. And there's a great ease I think ease is the best word. There's no effort. There's just, I just am. And that I thoroughly enjoy. So I've got a lot of that really grounds me, that feeds me with all the things that really matter to me. Whereas in public, I still have to uphold a certain personality in order to handle everything that comes with it. So when I'm with my family, all of that, I literally relinquish all of that and I just am whatever I am. And that for me is actually priceless. I love my family. I love the friends that I have. They fulfill me in a way that I actually can't even begin to explain.
Tell us a little bit about Robin.
Robin, oh, he's a sweetheart. I've known him. I'm now very old, but we've known each other for almost 15 years, the first time we met, but we've been together for 11 years and married 7. Mm. And we live, play, work, and everything together. And, you know, I think for most couples, they'd be so, I don't think everybody can handle that, doing everything with your husband. But we're working towards the same goal. We are driven by the same things. We love building our lives together. And we are each living our passion. And I think that therein lies the biggest difference. We literally spend all our days doing what we love with the person we love the most.
That is so true. And also the song you called Let There Be Light. Where can one get hold of the song right now, Lira?
The song is available in all good music stores. I was actually this weekend at Canal Walk at the Musica store just doing CD signing. So you can find it at any good music store, as well as on iTunes or other online platforms that you might be accustomed to.
Yeah.
So the album is called Born Free. And yes, you can purchase it right now.
And something else about you. I mean, I've been having this opportunity to sit about a meter from you, is that you are really photogenic. You are as flawless as you are on your pictures. If somebody looks at you, they say, that picture has to be photoshopped. Especially to our ladies listening, she's absolutely flawless beauty, really.
Thank
something
you.
That you gifted with. You know, you also said to me off air, you said to me, you know, God really looks after me well. You have a special relationship with God, Lira.
Oh, yes, I do. I have a very spiritual relationship, so I'm not religious at all. For me, my relationship with spirit is every day, every moment, every scenario. It's a way of life, it's a way of being, but it really is just fun. It's not burdensome. I've realized that it's a very responsible life, but it's not burdensome. I've had most fun being conscious in how I live. I've had more reward. I've had more opportunity. I've had more treats. Mm. I've had more adventure.
True.
So I'm really having a great time.
Absolutely. I had this conversation with my son the other day. We were speaking about relationship with God. I said, my boy, you'll become unstoppable. Lyra, it's time for us to bid you goodbye. Your brand new CD album called Born Free. Yes. We've listened to Let There Be Light. It's a fantastic song.
Thank
Congratulations.
You. Thank you so much.
I'll be getting my own as well. And we bid you well. We wish you everything of the best, that God will really take you to higher heights than what you dreamt possible up to now.
Thank you so
and,
much.
And the yellow roses that we got from
I'm
Think
so
of
excited.
Us.
You got the color perfect.
From all of us here
Thank
at
you so
Tigerberg
much.
Wonderful FM. What would be your goodbye message?
Folks, for me, the purpose for all my music is for self-love, self-acceptance, and self-expression. And that is my wish for all of you who are listening, to be your best version of yourself. And you'd be amazed. Life is structured in a way that celebrates, supports, and facilitates you being the best version of yourself. Have a wonderful day and week further.
And all the very, very best for your brand new single called, and also to get hold of it at every good music store, Lyra said, and also iTunes. It's Let There Be Light. All the best.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.